Assistant United States Attorney David Stark, dressed in a conservative pinstriped suit, flipped open his identification, though all the lobby guards knew him on sight, and bypassed the metal detector. He then got in an empty elevator, rode it to the 12th floor, and offered up a hearty, "Good morning, Lorraine," to the woman sitting inside the bulletproof glass reception area. She looked at him wordlessly and pressed the buzzer to let him in. David's office had been recently painted in pale gray and decorated in the practical style favored by the government. He eschewed the framed diplomas and commendations that some attorneys hung on their walls. Nonetheless, his career and personal life could be deciphered in the few photos he kept on his desk. A law school graduation picture with his mom and dad, a photo of him on the steps of the federal courthouse giving a press conference, and a picture taken during his last year as a partner at Phillips, McKenzie & Stout. This last photo, taken during the firm's annual gala, showed David in a tuxedo and his wife, his ex-wife, in a revealing burgundy cocktail dress. David got right to work. He was between cases and took the time to catch up on mail and phone calls. He'd just gotten a conviction against a group of men caught smuggling heroin in from China. The buzz around the office was great, which would mean more high-profile cases. But the conviction was a disappointment, too. Since coming to the U.S. Attorney's Office, David had prosecuted drug, racketeering, and massive illegal immigration cases. He'd built a substantial reputation for the most federal convictions against Chinese organized crime, particularly against the Rising Phoenix, the most powerful gang in Southern California. But he'd never been able to tie the crimes to anyone high up in the organization. In the meantime, the very face of organized crime continued to change in the United States. The Justice Department continued to pursue the mafia, but today's crime syndicates were increasingly multicultural, and none of them were more entrenched or threatening to America's well-being than the triads. These Chinese gangs, what the Cantonese called Tongs, had been in this country since the discovery of gold in California. The Rising Phoenix triad appeared to be involved in casinos, bookmaking, loan sharking, prostitution, extortion, credit card and food stamp fraud, illegal immigration, and, of course, heroin smuggling. All of this in addition to a wide array of legitimate businesses, restaurants, motels, coffee shops, and so on. At 2 o'clock, the quiet of Stark's office was shattered when two FBI agents burst in. Jack Campbell and Noel Gardner had worked the Chinese gang beat with David for 2 years now. Campbell, the older of the two, was a lanky black man with a smattering of freckles across his nose and cheekbones. His partner, Gardner, was short, brawny, and at least 20 years younger. An accountant by training, Gardner was thoughtful and precise, letting the more personable Campbell do most of the talking. "Last night's storm was the break we've been waiting for," Campbell told David. "The peony has drifted into U.S. territory. That makes her ours, my friend." The China peony, a freighter, had been languishing for a week just outside U.S. coastal waters over 200 miles off the California shoreline. The FBI had been tracking the ship because air surveillance had shown hundreds of Chinese crowded on the deck. After a few inquiries in Chinatown, Stark had surmised that the Rising Phoenix was behind this shipment of illegal immigrants. "The Coast Guard is sending a cutter out there," Campbell went on, "but I know we'll beat them if we go by chopper, so what we want to know is, do you want to come with us?"